led to the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus, the glorious testimony. The Bible said that pray daily, lead us not into temptation,
Amen.
But deliver us from you.
Amen.
It's a daily prayer, you know. No better prayer than what the Lord has taught us, Lord. And it works all the time. It can never fail. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the great deliverances. Blessed be the glory of the Lord. Lord, as we read the scriptures tonight, Lord, we put our trust in you, Lord, that you will bless us, Lord. Bless the reading of your word tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So we were dealing by the grace of God. You know, we said that many weeks ago, we talked about Satan and his kingdom of darkness, you know. And they say, well, let's talk about our own inheritance, you know, the gift of the Spirit. And last week or so, we talked about there are all kind of school of thought there. Something like pray that the gift of the Spirit that sits in the church, but we know, we are all of us, and we know the gift of the Spirit is alive in the church. And God says, God didn't withdraw them, amen. Praise the Lord. I'm talking about a scripture that they always quote to those who believe that way. If there be prophecy, they receive. If there be tongue, they receive. And so on, that, you know, we know. Bible says, when that which is perfect is come. Mm-hmm. And we know, we're not in the perfect age yet, you know. So it cannot be seen at this time. So it belongs to the church. And so, now tonight, I want to just talk about the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit. We already established that it is for our day. And thank God, as we have seen many things in our own life, and where there is faith, you know, the gifts are in operation where there is faith, amen? Understanding and knowledge, you know. So tonight, let's talk about the purpose, you know, of the gifts of the Spirit. So maybe that's when we energize the church to go all the way out, you know. So the purpose of the gifts of the Spirit. God doesn't give anything out without purpose, or does anything without a purpose. He has a purpose for everything, you know. So and even Solomon told us that in the book of Ecclesiastes, right? So now tonight, God has a purpose for the gifts of the Spirit too, and what he intended that they should accomplish. Even in the midst of people have understanding, they have misplaced the purpose of these things, either, you know. They don't have a perfect understanding anymore what these gifts are even for, you know. People think that pay is just to say I'm in this position, or they even brag. No, nothing to do with that, you know. So let's see what the Bible wants us to know about the gifts of the Spirit. So the gifts of the Spirit are not toys that we throw around anyhow, you know, or even turn them on as we like, you know. So they are God's love gifts to the church. I always like something, say gifts of the Spirit. The things of God, they are gifts to us. Even our salvation is a gift. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8, by grace are we saved, you know, through faith. You know, it's not of work, let any man should boast, right? It's a gift of God. So everything he does for us is a gift of God. And the Bible says that, on the day of Pentecost, when Brother Peter has preached by that great sermon and so on, they were asking, what shall we now do? Say, believe. Repent, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They are all gifts. So you don't work for them. So you don't have to labor so hard. Yeah, you may have to stand your ground. You see, we always look at Israel as an example. God promised Father Abraham that land, right? They had to fight tooth and hair to keep it, to get it and to keep it, right? God is involving them and so on. In his providence and so on. So also have some time to stop a fight and tell the devil off, amen, and claim that which belongs to you. You don't just lay fallow and so on if he lets it be and so on. No. If God has declared it's for you, then it is for you. Then you must do all you can to get what belongs to you. So that's how even the things of God work too, you know. So that is saying the word and so on. What you do with it? No, that's not the Christian talk, amen. What we do with it, that's not so, you know. Since I can't just have take away what belongs to me in Christ, so praise the Lord. Now, so any attempt, therefore, to use this gift for selfish or frivolous purposes will be a tragic mistake. And it has happened in the church, you know, church issue. It has happened with it, you know. I want to be careful. And they get this out to be talked about once in a while. You know, even the book of Peter says, even the things we know, sometimes we have to be reminded of them. Though we know these things, amen. Praise the Lord. So not to talk of, we have a new generation among us, and so we never have all the broad things that God has done for us. So but for that reason alone, we have to touch on these things, you know. You may know the things which are freely given unto us, the things which are hardly mentioned in the churches anymore. And again, like we are saying, the God we draw them, no, it belongs to the church today. We are there in faith, amen? If you understand it, and if you walk, you know? So, anyway, so the paramount purpose that God had in mind when he ordained this special gift of the Spirit to be bestowed upon the church was that through the operation of this gift, the church should become the functioning body of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. That is the purpose, you know. Now let's see some of the reasons, you know, that why God put them in the church or this gift and so on. About four or five of them I mentioned tonight. Number one, to manifest the body of Christ on earth. That's one of the reasons why God put the gift in there. To manifest the body of Christ on earth. The scripture depicted the church as the body of Christ. And there are many, many scriptures for that. I will just get one of them here in 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And this is something we have to remember ourselves all the time. Yeah, we are the body of Christ. And even you in particular, you are a member in particular that you are distinct, amen? A distinct member of the body of Christ. If you look to the flesh or whatever, that is the way God sets things up. That's who you are in Christ, amen? That you don't use it, you don't even know, it doesn't mean that it doesn't change anything. You are still one person you are, amen? Praise the Lord. Anybody can give you a check of maybe $1,000 or something, you only give $1. If you don't know about it, then you won't spend it, right? And you don't know. And even if you know, if you don't use it, then just lay down there. So the same thing with the things of God too, you know. So anyway, here is a vital truth which is not as fully understood as it should be. I'm talking right now. Here we are told that the church is the body of Christ, and each of us are members in particular. I have to remind yourself about this thing. And it boosts your faith. So, the Bible says that I'm even planted in the palm of his hand. When he was here, I said, you are planted in the palm of my hand. And also he said, we are planted in the palm of the Father's hand. When he went back to the Father, we are planted in the palm of his hand. And then there are so many scriptures that, not only that, he's the true vine, right? And you are a branch, amen? He's defeated in so many, many ways. With this kind of scripture, Satan cannot trick the believer without the scripture that, you know, I will deceive many people and so on. You are backsliding and you are nobody are forsaking you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, amen. So with this kind of scripture, Bible says, in Christ, in him we live and move how our being, amen. In Colossians, Bible says that our life is hid in Christ with God. This kind of scriptures, you know, in the epistles, praise the Lord. So to see our oneness with the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how you, nothing to do with your feelings, not one thing, you know. We don't walk by feeling, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. I am what I am by the grace of God. You are who you are in Christ by the grace of God. But you must endeavor to know them and understand them and put them into use, put them into action by faith, you know. Praise God. That's how we do the things of God, to be by faith, you know. When you know that, that's your faith, and it will always work, you know. So to hear, so anyway, as long as Christ was on earth, he could only be in one location at a time. That's how he limited himself to be a kinsman redeemer. See? He can only be in Jerusalem at one time or whatever, and then minister to a few people at one time, and he could only minister to a very few people at one time. However, after the Spirit was poured out, it became possible for him to manifest himself through an unlimited number of believers. That's what he has done, you know. So, over and over again, he told us when he was going, if I don't go away, the Comforter cannot come. But if I go, the Comforter will come. Because why? The same eternal spirit, amen? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is Christ in spirit form. Praise the Lord. So he said, come. And that's why when he comes into you and me, he does the same thing. When he comes, he won't talk of himself. He will speak about me. He will do anything. He will show you things to come. That's what the Holy Ghost does, you know. And he will put you in remembrance. Or sometimes, you know, I just remember what that's not remember for a long time. Just come to me. See? And now the Bible says, we preach into remembrance. Even, he said, I've told you. The Holy Ghost does that too, you know. So praise the Lord. It is just, we should take advantage by the grace of God, like any other thing, by those who through our senses, you know, in all these things, you know, that God has promised his people, you know. So anyway, it's a very, very advantageous. So now, these members of a mystical body could go forth now into all parts of the world and minister to the people, even as the Lord himself ministered when he was on earth. Because the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:17 that as he is, so are we in this world. In 1 John 4:17 said that. So was the ministry of Christ multiplied upon the face of the earth, many, many fold. See? So, and thus, by means of this supernatural gift, Christ, through the Holy Spirit, may manifest himself and his ministry in any part of the world, of the earth. The church does become indeed the body of Christ, as it says, the Bible says, doing his works and ministering his love and compassion to the needy. In a real way, the church is his eyes, his ears, his feet, his arms to carry on his work on the earth. This truth also shows us that when the church, that's one side of the story, right? The other one is also true, that when the church loses the manifestation of her gifts, she becomes weak, ineffective, and something altogether different from what God intended. It's true, that it's both ways. When we really go out and believe the Lord by faith, reach out and so forth, and let this thing work in us, then God is glorified. But if you neglect them, you're coming ineffective and weak. Now that's one thing. So to manifest, that's one of the reasons why God sent the Holy Ghost to the church, to manifest the body of Christ on earth. Another purpose that God does this for the church is to assist in the evangelization of the world. You know? So that's why the Lord gave the Great Commission as a command to believers for the evangelization of the world. And there are two scriptures in there. I will do the Mark 16 first, verse 15. This Bible is not a tale or any kind of a thing. This is reality. This is God's word is true. Whatever I say, it belongs to you. Now, let me read that Mark 16. Of course, because we have many Bibles today, polluted one. That's why our brother was talking the other day about the King James Version, right? Some people cannot live as if they are the one doing it. They take this part of scripture out of their own Bible, you know. They take it not for this day and so on that, you know. Just like they take I started at 7:14 out of the Bible. Some people do it. They couldn't figure out. You can't figure out by human reasoning. A virgin shall conceive, right? They took it out of their Bible. You know? So anyway, now let's Mark 16:15. And the Great Commission. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now look at that thing. It means every believer should expect these things in their life. Nobody is left out. And this sign shall spread that I believe, not the pastor only or the prophet only. No, no, no. This sign shall spread that I believe. What are the signs? In my name shall they cast out devils, he said. They shall speak with new tongues. Belong to every believer. But that was what he says in the Bible, you know. And they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I was talking, I think in the last 3 weeks, I've been talking to this particular verse, came up in conversation and so on. They shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. How we have so many poisons in the world today. Is it in the water? Is it in the air? Is it in the air? Industrial pollution? All these things, they are here, you know. So the Bible already gave us this verse. And we must daily, not only to know them, meditate upon them, but speak them out in it. You are no, you speak it out. This word of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth. In it also, meditate day and night. You know, so you speak to your, you know, speak God's word. Speak the word only. And God's word will never fail. Anyway, so you see, and these are the cover. Now, the evangelization of the world is not to be done through the use of, now over the years, Satan is a perverter, and there are counterfeits of this gift, we know that, you know, and people, even so-called great people, as you call it, great people of God, they use gimmicks. They are part of great meetings where you have big congregations. Now, they will now mimic the word of knowledge or word of wisdom. They are using communication. So the person who's ministering will have a copy of the thing that we are listening to. Somebody will be in the congregation going around and questioning the people, right? And then talking to the people with minister, right? This is reality, you know? So you interview somebody in the congregation and then get what, you know, happening to what's wrong with that person, and he's talking to the person who is the minister. Let's stand up and begin to echo that to as if he's having a word of knowledge. It happened. All money making schemes and so on. Anyway, in short, the evangelization of the world is not to be done through the use of gimmicks or gadgets. That's what I call gadgets. Communication things and so on. But through certain miraculous signs which are manifest through the gifts of the Spirit. As we are all aware, you know, it has not been easy to evangelize the world or the hidden. That's true. I mean, not really easy at all, you know. And the reason is simple. Now, the evangelization of the nation has been a very slow and tedious process. We all know that. I will give two examples and things like that, you know. Missionaries have labored all their lives to win even a few souls. I have an example here. I was a British missionary back in, I think he lived around 1761 to 1834. Maybe you know him or not. You know, his name is William Carey. You know, he was a British. He's one of the early missionaries, really. Real missionary and so on. And he spent most of his time in India, you know. You know, and this man, this brother, labored for 6 years to win a single soul. This is in history, in his own documentation. 6 whole years in India to win a single soul. Now, so why? On the contrary, to contrast that war, when you have a sign gift in a minister and so on, where they believe and so on, we have mass, great crusades, as we have all seen it and so on. I mentioned one incident, William Braham, in his own testimony, he said it all the time. I think it was in a Mohammedan country, whatever country is. So they have leaders of religion, Buddha was there, and whatever they are. So with many people, sick people around and so on, you know. And it put us a challenge, you know, a challenge. Let the Buddha person, you blind people, you deaf people and so on. If Buddha is really God, and let him heal just one of you, you know, I become a Buddhist, he said, you know. You Mohammedans, you call him Mohammed, if he can heal any of this one, I become a Muslim. And that, I'm just quoting right now, you know. And if I now They can, if I now call on Jesus Christ and he heals this person, will you guys believe? They all say yes. And of course the way he walks is this, which I always like John 5:19. I think we should also always pray that. He says, the Lord said, I do nothing but what the Father shows me. Though we have these gifts and so on, that's another place where we make mistakes, you know. You can't just switch them on like that, you know. Mm-hmm. So you have to be by the Lord. Pastor, I think the Lord said, I do nothing but what the Father shows me. That's why he operates most of the time. You see it in the vision for us. So he has seen in the vision that a man will be, these people will be healed. So he was confident.
Yes.
So that this thing will happen. So when it comes to his own turn now, too late enough, you know, as he make prayer and so on, and people were getting healed on the right and the left. And they were shouting, Jesus Christ is Muslim, so Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has healed us and so on. I think he said 30,000 people, he said, that's in his own word, gave their lives to Christ. Can you see the difference between sign gifts now, the gifts of the Spirit, mm-hmm. and an evangelist, 6 years to win one single soul? And that's the thing, you know. So the church has to be aware of these things. And so we thank God for what we are, what is good. It's better than nothing, right? You know, we open hospitals, we open schools and so on. It's all good and so on, you know. But for the God to reach all the world, we need God to bring again all those crusades. And we know, even in Nigeria, Maurice Cerillo will come to Ibadan. And so I don't know how many people know about that. Maurice Cerillo, they will come. Even T.L. Osborne will come. And I'll call Brazil, go everywhere. I think that, you know, I have this crusade and so on, you know. You know the difference is made in the world, right? So I think we believe God. This, when you're talking about the revivals, we should pick up our eyes on these things, amen?
Yes.
And keep us in our prayer. And people pray for this thing to occur. It's not our time. It's your time and my time, amen? They finish their own job, right? They go to their reward. Praise the Lord. It's left to you and I. And it's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord Jesus. So we see. So we see right there. So now, let's see. Another one reason why God put the gift in the church is to edify the body of Christ. Edification of the body of Christ. And many people, when they are operating this gift, they went offline. They can even be cursing people and so on. God do this to you and so on. They are saying they are prophesying, right? Prophesying. How does that edify anybody? You know? Yeah, I know that's a judgmental thing, but in general, the gifts are to edify the body of Christ. A number of the gifts have a definite purpose in the edifying of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, we read this. But he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. That is quite like what happens to people today who think they have the gifts. You know, they are completely offline. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous or spiritual gifts. And that's what we should be praying for ourselves, that we should be zealous or spiritual gifts, amen? See? You know? Have to be zealous. And seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. How is it then, brethren? When you come together, every one of you has a psalm. That's the will of God for the church, you know? And has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done, you know, unto edifying. So this chapter in 1 Corinthians, gives considerable instruction on the order of the apostolic service. And for example, we advise that if one is moved to give a message, you know, a message in an unknown tongue, it should make sure that somebody is congregation can interpret, you know, all these kind of things. How many times have we heard tongues in the church that go, that's been interpreted, you know? So, if otherwise, Bible says we should keep to ourselves, you know, and speak unto God. And this has set up in the church as a church order, you know? So, many times, okay, we'll come to that later. So anyway, several times in this chapter, like I said before, we are given some, it was emphasized that one of the great purposes of the gift of the Spirit is for edifying the body of Christ, meaning the church. The gift especially adapted to edifying the body of Christ or the church is prophecy, and also speaking in tongues and interpretation also. Of course, we know that any gift manifested in the assembly can result in blessing the believer. So now the point is this, is for the edifying of the body of Christ. Another reason why God put this in the church is this: for the deliverance of God's people, for deliverance purposes, and so on. And certain of the gifts are specially designed for edification of the body. So there are other gifts ordained for the deliverance of God's people. Even the Old Testament is replete, meaning full, complete, with occurrences in which the people of God receive supernatural deliverances. You know that. So the ministry of Christ, you know, was marked anyway. You all know that, by miracles of supply, such as feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000, turning water into wine. See, and in his ministry and so on, that, you know, or miracles of deliverance, such as the calming of the sea. You know, it was there. There was storming sea. Disciples were there and so on. See, peace be still. God said there was a great calm. What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea, they obey him, you know. So, deliverance, right? So, the gifts of God, some of them are like that. The gifts specially, designed for delivering God's people in times of crisis are the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, gifts of healing, working of miracles, and the gifts of faith, rather. In fact, almost all the gifts of the Spirit may serve at times to effect supernatural deliverance for the people of God. That's why we should endeavor, even to be zealous, the Bible says, and so on, for these things and so on, because of the purpose that God ordained them for in the church, you know. One of the reasons why God put them in the church is this: the perfecting of the body of Christ. So, closely associated with the edifying of the church is God's eternal purpose to prepare the church. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, we are told, he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That which always strike my mind, that is the uttermost, that's where we are supposed to be headed, right? You know, see, rising up, growing up. In one verse, but growing up unto him in all things. Amen? And God will never change his mind. Praise the Lord. So we must, and it's not by mind, by power, just by faith and trusting the Lord, you know. So unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He is the standard, you know. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So if Apostle Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Praise the Lord. Christ is our perfect example. Anyway, so the gifts of the Spirit are manifest through chosen individuals, you know, are the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you know, so that the church may be perfected, like I just said, that's what Ephesians 4, right? And, perfected, that is, made ready for the coming of the Lord. See? That was the perfection content. Make the body of Christ ready for his coming. Even though people become devout Christians, you know, there is always a possibility that they may be misled by some plausible, meaning well meaning, but self-deceived people or leaders who happen to, win their confidence and so on like that, you know. God's people need teaching by God's anointed men who can discern between the true and the false. As the 14th verse of Ephesians 4 said, and I read that, Bible says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Now, so let us land up tonight just simply the purposes, or some of the purposes rather, why God put it in the Bible, for the church, the gifts of the Spirit and so on. There is a general, here are some general facts about the, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit, there are 9 of them, and here are some facts about these 9 gifts of the Spirit. They are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without every Christian. So no, it's not meant for any particular person. It's just like, you know, these such a person that believe, right? Mark 16, the same thing. So the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. See? To another, the word of knowledge. And by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing. You put S on the gifts, right? Gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. So there are 9 of them in total. People over the time, and we can see them, they put them in 3 categories, really, you know. So these 9 gifts can be, they fall into 3 categories. General categories or classification. Number 1, there are those that are called the revelation gifts, which is word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirit. So they are called revelation gifts, you know. God just revealed it to you, makes it manifest. So we have the second group called the power gifts. That faith, the gifts of healing, working of miracles. Then the last batch are what they call the inspirational gifts or inspiration gifts. Prophecy, diverse kind of tongues, interpretation of tongues. So they fall into those 3 broad categories. Now, let us say that why we have all these 9 gifts like that and these categories. Let us say that sometimes they run to each other, that the colors of a rainbow, you know, they encroach to each other in their functionality, you know, so we should know that. And so, usually the working of the gifts, for example, the working of the gifts in these 3 groups, like I mentioned, tend to merge from one into another, like I said before, as the spectrum of a rainbow, you know. Thus, the word of knowledge, for example, and the discerning of spirits are very similar, actually, in what they do. The supernatural knowledge obtained through the gift of discerning of spirits is really a specialized kind of knowledge, really, you know. So they blend into each other. See? Now, again, gifts of healing are for the deliverance of the human body from sickness and disease. Yes, a miracle of healing in which creative work is required would seem to be classified more correctly under the working of miracles, but healing is involved too, you know. So they bless to each other this gift. And certainly, the raising of the dead, for example, meaning calling back of the human spirit to a dead body, is beyond the scope of the gift of healing, really. That's a special case, you know. Yet, healing is involved. So evidently, the boundaries between the 2 gifts are not sharply defined. So they interwoven to each other and so on. So in as much as we are desirous of special gifts, we have understand these things, the more understanding we have, the more we can pray specifically for God to really bless us, you know, so we know what these things are. So now, in Pentecostal circles or meetings over the year, we have observed something. There are frequently those who interpret unknown tongues may also move into the realm of prophecy. Usually when you are, so it's probably give an unknown tongue, right? And what is interpreted is the time. It's actually prophecy, you know, and it happened. I've seen that many times and so on. So we are talking how they blend together. So there's prophecy, right? But sometimes you give an unknown tongue, when we interpret, and it's actually prophecy. You know, so we see how they blend together. So the 2 gifts are similar in operation, except that with prophecy, there is no speaking in other or unknown tongues. Whereas, you know, with the gift of interpretation, tongues is involved. So now, it is often true that 2 or more gifts operate together at a given time. And the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge work together very, very closely. So, now, for those who just come in, I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit, God's purpose, in putting the gifts of the Spirit in the church. Now, and we can say this one, knowledge is the raw material, but we must have wisdom to know how to use it. So the two work together, hand and glove together, you know, a word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Knowledge is the raw material, but we must have wisdom to know how to use it. Now, even in the Old Testament, in one chapter of the Bible, about, let me see, about six or seven of these kind of gifts work together in one, you know, at one instance in the Bible. Without reading the whole thing, I will just name them. In just one prophet, Elisha the prophet, in 2 Kings 6, I won't read the right answer, I will just name them. You know how the same gifts worked so many together, work together. For example, in Elisha, in 2 Kings 6, the sons of the prophet, the thing where they were living was too cramped up and they need more room, right? So they went to tell Elisha the prophet, let us go and cut beams so we can just make this thing large for us. So Elisha said, hey, go and do it. Then he said, please, go with us. go with them. And when they were cutting beams, as we read in that chapter, the axe fell into the, talking about how the gifts interwoven and they can work together, simultaneously, even in one person at times, you know. So the iron axe fell into the water, and Elisha the prophet said, look, cut me a stick there. Cut a stick, threw it in the water. The Bible says the iron axe swam. It swam. That is in 2 Kings 6:6. Then the same man, twice, this time Elisha the prophet revealed the location of the camp of the invading Syrian army, or camp of the king of Syria, want to invade Israel, so that the king of Israel can avoid going that way, lest it be destroyed. So that happened. He was in his house, and he was able to tell the location where the king of Syria was to invade, where they were at. And then we tell the king of Israel two times, you know, it happened. How does he know that? Word of knowledge, right? You know, how does he know that? So the same prophet and so on. And of course, you know, that's in Elisha. So he prayed that the host of the Syrian army that came to capture him for showing, for revealing their secrets, you know, that God should blind the old Syrian army. And it took place and so on, you know. And of course, he prayed again that God should open their eyes. And God, you know, miracles, right? Word of knowledge, miracles, you know, happening. You know, like I'm saying, they work together. Even in one man at times, they work like that, you know. In one chapter, we see all these things in there, you know. Elisha even prayed. And then, you know, sitting in his house one time, Elisha saw the approaching servants of the king who were said to bring him to be killed. Why? There was a great famine in Samaria, you know, and got to a place where women were killing their children. There are two, one woman come, he told the king, one woman come to the king, he said, you know what, king, so terrible a famine in Samaria. Now, this woman, this one we agree, that today they will boil my baby and we will eat it, and tomorrow you boil your baby and we will eat it. He said today, yesterday we boiled my own baby and we ate it. And when tomorrow comes, now this woman refused to boil his own baby. So the king was mad. I want to blame it on Elisha the prophet. What has Elisha done? Praise God. So he sent people to go and capture Elisha, you know. So Elisha was sitting in his house and he saw it, maybe in a vision or whatever. And he told the people around them, see this man coming to arrest me or whatever, you know. So you see the gifts working in one shadow like that, all they work together as God will appoint them. So anyway, let's stand up here and so we can go into prayer. Now, see here, the gifts are under, sometimes people will do something in the meetings, the Spirit may be to do it. No, really, not really, you know. So there is a control. You have only in few instances, maybe when you are receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you go into the Spirit, you lose control, or maybe in a special case, maybe a vision and so on, but in general, The Bible says that you have control of what you do or what you don't do under the interest of those gifts. So we believe that with possible exception, like I just explained right now, the recipient of a gift has complete control of his faculties. It is true that on occasion, a person, while receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or some special revelation, has been so lost in the Spirit that he may not even be aware of what is going on around him. It happened, but very, very rare. But during public ministry, you know, the speaker, even while deep in the Spirit, is almost in all cases knows what he or she is doing and saying. If he chooses, he can cease speaking in tongues or prophesying, you know. Of course, when the Spirit is upon him to do things, otherwise, he will obey the Lord and so on. Nevertheless, what he is doing is under his control. So sometimes, you know, we think we say, God made me to do this one. The Holy Ghost doesn't force anyone to do anything. He doesn't force you to speak in tongues or to stop speaking in tongues, you know. He doesn't do anything. So, I mean, you are in control of that. And we have a scripture for that in closing. Last scripture I want to read here. The Bible bears, you know, this out in 1 Corinthians 14:32. And here is what it says there. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. So that's why, you know, that's why sometimes in a meeting, a message will be going on, and people will butt out in tongues, disturbing the message, you know. The Spirit may make me do it. Maybe, but usually, the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So in fact, tonight, the church is instructed to prophesy one by one and to let everything be done in course so to avoid confusion. That is in 1 Corinthians 14:28. But if there be no interpreter, like I said before, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. All these instructions indicate that the gifts are subject to the prophet. You know, the Spirit does not force anyone to manifest a gift. So tonight, talking about the purposes of the gifts of the Spirit. And one verse to be zealous, even in the Corinthian church, you are zealous in the spiritual gifts, you know. And we are told that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, every being, to profit with that. Not just to any person, just like the sign given the Great Commission, these signs are present that believe. So you must try, you know, in one place, maybe go to it later, say convert earnestly for the best gift, you know. So you have to convert, you know, these things and so on, not like the word they converting and so on. Be zealous and so on, that, you know. So tonight, I just stop right here. So we see the purposes, some of the purposes. Evangelization, edifying the body of Christ, manifesting the body of Christ on earth, all these things. If by the grace of God, the church gets to that state again, you know, I mean, I wish we get to it. Talking about the great revival life, so I believe all these things will come into action, you know, manifestation. But with our input in our prayer life, we can see things up too. Father, we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot but speak of these things, Lord, which is given to the church. We are instructed, you know, to do it in the body of Christ. So Lord, we thank you for the little time we spend here tonight. As we go back, Lord, oh God, even at one place, they stir up the gifts. Even where these gifts have worked before, we need a standing up. Bible says also, so Lord, you know, the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Lord, that's where, you know, covered, I mean, you know, you see, earnestly, you know, for the, for that which has been already given to the church for us in the beginning, you know, we have to contend for them, earnestly, with all our hearts and all our minds. And God is always ready to bless us. Once we know what belongs to us, and then we need to call upon the name of the Lord in all honesty, it is ours. So we thank you tonight, Lord. We pray not only for ourselves here, we pray for all the members of the body of Christ, that Lord, oh God, Lord, that our eyes will be open to these things again, and you know, and do exactly what the Lord told us we should do. And all we know, all things are ours in Christ. We thank you for the time we have spent in the world. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. So by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we sing this song, Brother will come. He's coming back again. He won't come, he will lead on him. He's back again. He went away and promised.